Hey everyone, welcome to Afterthoughts for episode 5 of The Complex. In this episode, we focused on the force of personality that was Genius Boy. He's a hell of a big, big personality.
Yeah, it kind of fills a room.
Yeah, he was kind of the perfect example of what ADHD can look like under high amounts of pressure. So, to start us off, I wanted to just play a little clip to outline kind of what we saw last time.
Great. I think that'll be perfect.
Oh, great. You're drunk. Again.
Yes, Jules. I am. That's very astute of you. And, in fact, I do intend to be drunk for 3 to 5 more evenings. You know how it goes with venture capital, right? There's always a deadline for when the portal should be operational and the technology has to be seg-faulted and rotated to the new instance. So, there you go.
I don't really care, but can you please keep
and
the noise down?
This is important. I can only deal with deadlines at the last minute. I call it the panic precipice. If I get the timing right, I can achieve excellence in the blink of an eye. But, like I say, I have to be pretty desperate, you know, with, like, anxiety.
Well, can't you build your panic precipice without having so much noise?
No! Not really!
Why? What do all these party people have to do with it?
Well, dude, they, like, set up the panic. Like, all these people. I don't know when they're gonna leave. So, like, ergo, I don't know when I'll start my last-minute work skirmish. And that kicks the anxiety up a notch.
All right, so I know, well, first off, I love Genius Boy.
Yes, he's quite a character.
He's incredible, but he's also extraordinarily disruptive.
Yes, he is.
And that goes along with the thing that he calls his panic precipice.
Yes.
Which I think, you know, is a good way to kind of talk about this kind of thing. So I know this isn't how ADHD always looks under pressure, because that would be a massive generalization. But I also know that people with ADHD work differently under pressure than non-ADHDers do.
Right.
How, or what are some of those differences and why do they arise?
So let's take the whole issue of pressure first.
Okay.
Because I don't know that it's an overgeneralization to say that everybody with ADHD under pressure acts this way. Think about Genius Boy as someone who is acting out his pressure, and so you see it.
Oh,
but there are many people with ADD
so
who will implode.
Yeah, it's internal.
And they go inside, and they talk about these horrible voices or terrible distress. So think about the external disruption being internal.
Wow.
So people with ADD have
it.
And typically, someone with different social mannerisms, okay, might go more internal because they have a consciousness about what other people might think or how things might happen, okay?
Yeah.
So, first of all, but let's talk about pressure, okay, and what pressure is on the ADHD spectrum.
Okay.
So, pressure certainly is known as one of the biggest disruptors in ADHD.
Right.
I think it's a big feeder for the emotional distress syndrome. But pressure creates a resistance for people with ADHD. It's something to kind of push up against or something they can feel.
Okay.
And that resistance...
Is it almost soothing?
It's interesting. It can be soothing, but think about it as being normalized because the normal, disruptive, chaotic nature of ADHD has always been there.
Mm.
So us with ADHD, we don't know anything other than pressure. Sometimes it's internalized, sometimes it's externalized, sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less.
Yeah.
But the reality is it's something that we know well, and there is a sense of comfort.
Mm.
So second, pressure, if it's strong enough, is going to create a survival response in the fight, flight, or freeze survival instinct of the mind. Okay. And if it's long enough, the pressure is long enough, then it's going to act as, we believe, a short-term stimulant because it pops adrenaline. And so it pops a short-term focusing agent. And it's really the classic waiting to the 11th hour procrastination syndrome.
Yeah.
Okay? The challenge with something like that is that it works. It's horrifically difficult maybe to people around them, but it does get something done.
Right.
And so if you think about the behavioral aspect of ADHD, that pattern, the people with ADHD, it's almost like their body knows. Mm-hmm. And so it's easier to kind of fall into that groove again.
Why is that so necessary with this kind of, mental patterning? Is it absolutely necessary for somebody with ADHD to kind of wait till that 11th hour?
No.
Okay.
No. It's not absolutely necessary, but it's the easiest groove to fall into.
Gotcha.
Because the chaotic nature builds up this pressure, mm-hmm. okay? I have trouble with focusing or following through or remembering details, and suddenly mm-hmm. I remember it. Mm-hmm. Here comes the pressure. Here comes the adrenaline. Here comes the focus. And so there's a part of my body that knows it. And so in the weirdest of ways, uh-huh. that pressure can feel like an old shoe you've always worn. Mm. And so getting snapped out of it or out of that space where it's not as disruptive, highly important, comes from personalizing strategies, comes from developing mindfulness and meditation
It is good to not be in that space like all the time.
Can you imagine being in that space all the time like this?
Well, right. Yeah, no, it'd be horrible. It'd be horrible for the individual and it'd be horrible for the people around them.
Right.
But so is this panic precipice almost a legitimate strategy that you could use as an individual? I mean, I know it's very disruptive to the people around them, but if you're only focusing on what you need to do, it kind of sounds like it'd be pretty effective.
Well, yes, in a silo by yourself with nobody else, right. It might be effective if you didn't disrupt other people. But I will first want to say I love the script writing here by yourself and Robin.
Yeah.
Shotsenoff, who Panic Precipice totally nails this
Robin
feeling
came
state.
Up with that one.
It's like we're right, and that would take total sense with Robin having her ADHD as me. We're on this edge and it's a little bit of panic and it's mm-hmm. anyway, it works beautifully. I think it's gonna really tie on to those of people who are listening. But oddly enough, yes, it can be a legitimate strategy. I want to put several qualifiers on it.
Okay.
Because if without the qualifiers, you will experience what Jules experienced, in the podcast. It's mm-hmm. just as overwhelming. Someone grabs my pizza, someone's forcing a margarita on me, and it's really, really disruptive in a place that makes it difficult for others. So, the qualifiers. Being aware of how it affects others is an obvious key component. Mm-hmm. When Genius Boy didn't do that, right?
Right.
And gaining that awareness has a lot to do with what we in the ADHD world would talk about hitting your pause button, being curious and observant, mindful, kind of contemplative, meditative. It helps. It doesn't take away this space because, oddly enough, he may actually know how to produce, his products in this way, but it's just like making people aware. Mm. And by default, his assistants on the podcast, mm-hmm. know he does this.
Yeah, in the beginning, okay? Right.
And Jules, the landlord, right, does a great job of explaining exactly the cycles he goes through. He ramps mm-hmm. up, he shuts down, goes and does something fun, then he ramps up.
Yeah.
And so it's not that you don't see it. So it can be legitimate, but you have to be aware, okay? I personally like to call it a backing yourself into a corner strategy, okay? Which means I know I'm putting some pressure on myself in a way that works for me. So it's a personal strategy, but also remembering that pressure element is really difficult on the physical body, so needing to rest and things like that are really, really important.
I want to kind of get back to the idea of, I guess, using this as a strategy and how to practically navigate it with people around you.
Yes.
Right. How can you do that?
Okay. So,
because that's what we see with Genius Boy. He's just like, he uses this panic precipice, and I guess it's because he has no consideration for anybody else.
Well,
that's kind of what it feels like from my end, right?
Yes, it's what it looks like. Okay, but he's so hyper, and this could be a classic example of someone who has the hyperactive, impulsive aspect of ADHD.
Yeah.
Where they're just roughshod over boundaries, energy of three people,
yeah,
using it all the time, and they don't even see it.
Yeah.
So, yes, it's a lack of consideration.
But that's part of the neurology.
Yes. And yeah. So it's a lack of consideration, but the willfulness is not there. And if you look at the willfulness of Genius Boy and kind of who he is as a character person, he really cares about people behind the scenes.
And we've seen that, okay? We see that at the end when he's talking about that.
But let's talk about it as a legitimate strategy.
Okay.
And in my authentic way of living a life with ADHD as an adult myself, I created my book this way. Okay, so Robin Shotsenoff, who helped write this podcast, also was my writing coach and editor. Okay, it just so happens that she also has a history of being an investigative journalist.
Mm.
So when we wrote my book, it was this interview, writing, coaching, editing format back and forth that created some pretty interesting pressure points around here in the office.
Mm.
And so how did I slow those pressure points down? Well, you know, outside of Kim and I checking in on kind of how it was affecting the office, whether we were doing taco runs, as we talk about in the book, or I was coming out excited, and I could see the look on Kim's face.
I was like, uh-oh, here we go.
And so, when I see the look on Kim's face, I'm like, oh, okay. And I slow down a little bit.
Take a breath. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
So, but there are ways to do it that legitimately customizes, like for me, how I wrote my book, but also how I handle the pressure.
So it's really something that you need to work with and not like delve way too much into or stray too much away from, right? It's something that's always going to be there because it's comfortable and it's easy to use.
Yes.
And so if you know, work with it such that you have these little strategies that kind of pop you out of it when you realize you're being disruptive.
Right.
Right. That's how it can be effective.
Correct. Okay. And that popping out of it is very helpful if you have a mindfulness and meditation practice, that you can be curious and observant of your environment as kind of a practiced element by you in mindfulness.
Yeah.
Then it's sometimes easier to notice.
Yeah.
So it kind of takes off the intensity edge.
What are some of those elements that are most common when this disruption is happening? Like when somebody's going through a panic precipice, what are some of the most common kind of characteristics that they can look for in the people around them to let them know, hey, you need to slow down for a second?
Well, some of it is going to be someone's like a startled response on their face to kind of look at them strange.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Literally people backing away from them.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
It's always good, and I talk about this in my social skills aspects of training, that having two or three really good friends around that I could check it out with.
Mm.
You know, so at the office here, I could have checked it out with Kim or somebody else. Hey, how far off base am I? Am I a little too intense? She said, yeah, you're a little over the top. Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
So
you could have like a scale almost of like, hey, where am I right now? And somebody's like, you're at an 8 right
okay.
now. And it's like, okay, oh, wow.
But I might think I was only at a 4.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I might under-evaluate it.
Yeah.
And so those kinds of things, people around you, watching people's body language.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, if something's personally interesting and meaningful and really exciting for you,
yeah,
you can pretty much guarantee this rev up's going to happen.
Yeah.
Therefore, I begin to institute slowing, what I call slow motion or slowing down my actions, which helps to kind of a pause button for my neurology.
Yeah.
I do things like, you know, little short meditations. I might walk outside if it's cold and breathe for a full minute, kind of the cold air. Something that keeps me insulated to some degree does help.
Pun intended.
Yeah.
So let's go and hear an extreme version of this.
Sure.
Of somebody kind of telling, well, of me telling Ramon that he's at a 12 on a 10 scale.
Hold the phone! I'm gonna get more ice!
Oh, why, good evening, Jules and Jessica.
Welcome to the Dance Dance Revolution party.
Whoa, do you really have a DDR pad?
Yeah, doesn't everyone? Come on, Jessica, it's your turn.
Oh, no, Jessica and I actually have dinner plans.
Just one quick song.
Here, let me open that bottle of wine for you.
But it's 10:30 on a weeknight and I just want to eat.
Sometimes you're such a little old man. Come on, it'll be quick.
All I wanted was to decompress with Jessica, but apparently she couldn't resist the shiny object of DDR. And did you notice how Ramon took my wine? I was so pissed I ended up doing something I haven't done since I was 5.
What'd you do?
I threw a tantrum. I literally pulled the plug on DDR and ordered all of the visitors to get out of the complex! They did, and suddenly it was just me and Ramon. You hear that, Ramon?
What?
The silence.
You know, I'm actually kind of glad you kicked everyone out. Right now, I can actually hear myself think.
Yeah. Silence can be nice sometimes.
Okay, so we see Ramon pop out of it, like you were just saying, right? Like he gets kind of struck with this, with Jules freaking out, with me freaking out. Can you explain what just happened in his head? What are the things that go on in somebody with ADHD's head when this kind of thing happens? It seems like such a strong change.
It is.
And such a like sudden change between right. like this at a 12 energy going crazy, whatever, party. And then it's like 2.
Yes.
And it's like, you know, on
and
a
it's
turn
not
of a
only a It's not only a 2, it's a contemplative 2.
Right.
It's an awareness 2.
Yeah.
You can hear
it's like
it.
A perfect meditation.
It's like, oh my God,
you're like
he's
a
right,
monk.
He's all but,
like
exactly.
Yeah.
And so... this is the best way to describe it, I think, is that, you know, we see that personality change, so to speak, from kind of all on or all off as being a component in the neurology of ADHD because we're underactive and underperforming, so we don't really recognize and we can just jump in and out of a situation.
And that's kind of the strange dichotomy of, or the strange, not the dichotomy, but the strange, like, thing to see from the outside is that ADHD is... created because of underactivities.
Yes.
A lot of people think that it's created because of overactivities.
Correct. Right. And it's the underactivities that don't slow the body down, which accesses right. or sets up the overactivities. It's an odd response.
Yeah.
But it's also why, without going into detail, it's medication and stimulants many times have an opposite response. Mm. They calm people down with ADHD and get them to focus.
Yeah.
Because it settles that part of the mind.
Well,
and puts
because
it in gear.
Or it like it. I wouldn't say settles because that has a connotation of like going downwards. It increases the activity of the areas that are usually underactive.
Correct.
So
correct.
That you can
exactly.
then have those successful dampeners
yes.
that
yes.
control
yes.
the mind.
Look, you're becoming an expert on ADD too. I love it. Jules is becoming an expert as we do the podcast. That's
yeah.
beautifully said.
That's
wonderful.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Oh.
Really good.
Wow.
But think about this sudden pulling of the plug and the music stopping of like someone pulling the brake on an emergency train. On a train, you pull the emergency brake and it's
yeah,
just like...
Yeah. Just screech to a
just
halt.
Just screech to a halt, yeah. okay? Think about that being in reverse of the startle response.
Yeah.
But it's got as much focus as waking you up or helping you pay attention as a startle response would. So it's a startle, but it just stops everything all of a sudden, okay? And so...
But it's not necessarily like a bad startle.
No. No, I wouldn't say it was a bad startle at
okay.
all. And so in the realm of eustress, which is positive stress, or distress, which is negative stress,
yeah.
then the chaos and all the... startle response that's negative is distress.
Oh, okay.
Okay. But this is kind of a positive stress in that suddenly, but it's sudden. Okay.
Yeah.
And what
does it need to be sudden?
It doesn't need to be. It can be. I mean, I have backed myself out of difficult situations, kind of like going outside for a minute
yeah.
to breathe.
Yeah.
That's not sudden necessarily, but. sometimes that suddenness like this can really create this opposite kind of response where suddenly he had all this adrenaline running and all this, you know, chemistry going. He still has that in him.
Yeah.
But it's used for contemplative and awareness of like, oh my gosh, he can hear himself think.
Yeah.
He can feel the quiet.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so it's an odd piece that it becomes very calming and peaceful.
Yeah, I find that very odd, just coming from a like non-ADHD place. Because if you kind of imagine, if I did this with somebody who wasn't ADHD, if they were having this big party and whatever, and I like freaked out, pulled the plug on DDR, like yelled at everybody to get out, they'd be pissed.
Right.
They would be absolutely livid that I did that, you know? And like, they would hate me for that. But Ramon went into this place of like, oh, wait, hold on. Now I can hear and I can see and I can do all these things. And like, whoa, what is this space? Like, yeah.
So he experienced it.
Yeah.
Didn't necessarily see or understand that he needed it. And it was so overamped.
Right.
But it is that opposite response. Now, and that doesn't always happen with people with ADHD. They can get disruptive as well, you know, but it was his response. And I see that a lot with his high intensity being stopped. And what I teach my clients is, yes, mindfulness and/or meditation, being able to pull the plug on yourself. So there are times where I'm working, I can feel myself frustrated or irritated, trying to get things done. And I know I can feel the irritation or the storm coming. And I literally, I will close my laptop.
Yeah.
I'll put it in my bag.
Hmm.
I don't even think anymore.
Yeah.
And that's me pulling the plug on myself.
Yeah.
And I might take a slow walk to my car, but I intervene on myself, which is really what you want to practice as an adult with ADD.
And really just having, I think where that starts is having an awareness of your own internal being, you know, what's happening, the process, the emotions you're processing, the different feelings that you're having.
Yes.
That's where that starts.
Right. But remembering, if you've always been told you're different, wrong, disordered, something's bad, you don't ever have an internal sense of self, which is one of my critical factors to help people create that internal sense of themselves so they can have this ability to pull the plug and stop themselves when they're getting into a chaotic storm.
What are some ways that people can build that internal self? Because I'm sure that just hit home for a lot of people.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
So it's great. I mean, it's a perfect kind of segue into that space, because certainly in episode 6, in our final episode, the week after this, we are going to learn about that internal space in general. So
So I guess we'll talk about it more.
Well, we will. But a spoiler alert is that essentially we're going to be using your imagination in a really powerful way. And hang on, because the science of the imagination, there's not much less shiny in my life. And I've been studying it for almost 20 years.
Yeah.
And it continues to fascinate me. So building internal worlds, using your imagination and the science of the mind is where we're headed, folks.
Gotcha. Because that builds this internal awareness and this sense of self. It does.
I'm telling you, I've been playing with it for a long time, and it's a lot of fun.
Okay, so to wrap it up, I just have one more question. How universal is this kind of cycling that we saw Ramon going through? Does it apply to every kind of ADHD, to inattentive, to hyperactive, to combined, to all that? Do you see like... Because I feel like this is a very hyperactive, impulsive kind of thing,
right?
Do people with inattentive go through this same cycle of getting, you know...
Stirred up.
Yeah, stirred up and needing to reset and literally pull the plug on themselves and then, you know...
And absolutely. And as I was saying earlier, if somebody with the primarily inattentive type of ADD, it's much more internal. And in some ways, it's more challenging.
Oh, so that's where you were saying, imagine Ramon's partying inside your head.
Correct.
God, that seems so much more intense.
And it is. And people with the inattentive type have the hardest time, right?
Yeah.
Focusing and concentrating or staying motivated.
Oh, my gosh.
And they're just infuriated internally.
Well, that's you can see so clearly why inattentive has such a hard time with literally just living, like how to like live every single day.
Because people don't see it.
Right.
Their motivation comes and goes at like the wind, But the reality is that they're living this enormously distressed life internally. It's no wonder, right, that depression and anxiety are like 40% coexistence with the diagnosis of ADD. It makes sense once you understand the emotional distress syndrome of ADHD. And so, I see everybody with ADHD in different ways go through these cycles. Mm-hmm. The interesting part is what we were just referencing earlier, kind of this internal sense of yourself.
Yeah.
And I've had many clients who did grow up in very safe, understood, supported households. And they may have not really had good personal strategy development or those kind of things. And understanding ADD, particularly in the way that I work as a directive, action-oriented kind of therapy work with them. But as soon as I do that, if this person's had a really strong foundation growing up and really loving and caring, these people come on board because they have this internal strength. But if you don't have it, you can build it. It's going to be part of podcast or episode 6. And it's also a part of my video education series that's coming out in May. That I'll teach you how to do that.
Will you like be giving them steps and like ways to?
I'll give you steps and ways and examples and experiences.
You'll walk them through every single aspect of it. And
because it's awesome. Very personal, everyone can do it. And I think it's fascinating to me because everyone has access to it immediately. Doesn't matter where you are in the world or what your financial welfare is or those kind of things. You can use your imagination if you can learn how to develop it and mature it is what I would talk about.
Great. If you want to find James's book and read more about these imagination ideas that he's talking about, you can go to jamesochoa.com.
Absolutely.
You'll also find his webinar, or not his webinar, his
video education
series you were just talking about. That's coming out in May, and that will be on his website as well.
And I want people to understand that this video education series is an enormously high value of, think about a potter who's been potting for 30 years. I'm an ADHD expert who's been managing this for 30 years. And I'm really putting the vast majority of strategies I know into these six videos that I really want people to be able to get to me differently than what you got in my book. And so some of these revolve strategies, you know, over the last 2 years since I produced my book. But it's really a high value education series.
So you almost want to make it to where you don't have to see everybody personally.
Well,
that's one as a client.
You're
putting this out such that you can just help as many people as you possibly can.
Well, exactly. Because remember, I'm a single person in South Austin, Texas, and I'm getting inquiries from all over the world now as my emotional stress and emotional distress syndrome really wakes people up and gives them a valid understanding of what it is. But this video education series will give you a way to get to me, so to speak. And it's something you'll have the rest of your life, so you can go back and reference it again as a way to really be taught a lot of the most important skill sets to manage ADHD and navigate it in your life.
Great. Well, if you want to find that, go to jamesochoa.com.
Absolutely.
You can also find his book. As far as where to get the coming episodes of The Complex, to hear the last two, we only have 2 more weeks left after this.
I know. It's kind
of sad. That's kind of strange.
I know. It's a lot of
wild. To get the last two episodes, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And we will see you next time.
We will.